from NATO Allied Command Transformation in Norfolk, Virginia. This is the Innovation Podcast, a discussion forum on the practice, strategy, and value of innovation as a critical tool for strengthening the NATO alliance. As part of its responsibility to identify challenges and opportunities in innovation to maintain a warfighting edge, Allied Command Transformation plays a leading role in the establishment, accreditation, preparation, and periodic assessment of NATO Centers of Excellence, or COEs. Although COEs are not part of NATO command structure, they are nonetheless capacity multipliers that complement alliance resources in a wide variety of service areas. With specialized subject matter expertise, COEs distribute their in-depth knowledge through concept development, training, doctrine, and lessons learned. Today, NATO benefits from 28 accredited COEs and will soon welcome two more, the NATO Space COE and another COE focused on climate change security. To discuss COEs, today we're joined by Raza Pazarowskin, Staff Officer at COE Program Development Directorate at Allied Command Transformation, where she oversees ACT responsibilities for COEs. Prior to joining ACT, Raza was co-director of NATO Smart Energy Team, deputy lead for Smart Energy Component at the multinational exercise Capable Logistician, and worked as an expert in doctrine and concept development for the NATO Energy Security COE in Lithuania. Raza, it's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you for having me here.
So let's begin with a couple basic questions. What are centers of excellence and what do they do for NATO?
So centers of excellence are entities, usually they are spread out across the world and they deal with different expertise and different topics. However, the NATO accredited centers of excellence or NATO centers of excellence are nationally or multinationally established and managed entities that provide subject matter expertise in their specific areas to NATO allies and partners. What differs them or distinguishes them from any other centers of excellence that are around the globe is that they are accredited by NATO, by the Military Committee and the North Atlantic Council, which makes it has a special bond, a special relationship with the alliance.
And why is that accreditation so valuable to a COE?
It creates a bond with NATO. First, it creates a functional relationship between that entity and NATO, which is way more valuable than the money.
And what is it about that bond to the COE that's important to the alliance?
They are our capacity multipliers, which means that they are entities that are specifically established by the group of interested nations that share a certain passion, that share a certain knowledge in the specific area of expertise, be it military engineering, be it the military medicine, be it strategic communications. And they give that additional boost to NATO when they need in-depth in that specific knowledge. Plus, they are the ones that are able to reach out to other entities outside of the world that are not necessarily related to the military. They might be private organization, industry, academia, think tanks, that NATO may not have a direct access. They may not be able to reach out to them just because we have a different international laws and international regulations how to deal with those partners. Or we may simply not know that they exist. NATO is an expert in, you know, defense and deterrence, but we are not maybe experts specifically in subject matter areas, or we do not have enough experts to deal with that. So COEs would be our first entities to go where we need to dig deeper or to get more knowledge, experience, and expertise in those specific areas of interest.
And what can COEs do that NATO cannot? What are some of the ways that COEs are more flexible?
So, COEs, of course, by nature are smaller organizations, and they are specifically designed to deliver expertise and experience in their specific subject matter expertise. So what they focus on that specific area, knowledge, products, services. That's what they do. That's their daily job to work in that specific area. NATO is an overall huge alliance that deals with a spectrum and variety of things. That is one. The second is that the SUI is managed by a number of countries that manage the SUI program of work and their resources as well. But they do not have to go and get the NATO's approval regarding each and everything that they want to put in their program of work. It's only the steering committee that has to decide upon that, the nations. And the reason for that is that SUI does not have, or SUIs do not have, command and control relationship with NATO. So they do not report to NATO directly, even though they have NATO accreditation, which means that they recognize NATO as their primary requester. Or the priority requester, that they oblige to follow the NATO security requirements, but they do not report to NATO, nor they are bonded with a financial relationship with NATO. That gives SUE a little bit, I would call it a freedom of action. Sometimes we say that it gives SUE an ability to provide a little bit more information, to work in a little bit larger scale than they would if they were under the command and control of NATO.
Now, in exchange for that accreditation, NATO has some very specific requests of COEs, right?
Yes. COEs are expected to deliver their expertise and experience in the four pillars of program of work. And those are, the first one is training, education, exercise and evaluation. The second one is concept development and experimentation. Then analysis and lessons learned. And then the fourth one, but not the least one, of course, is doctrine and standard development.
And every COE is responsible for delivering those four pillars of NATO work. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And then again, sometimes during the years, it ranges, you know, where the COE emphasis is, but they have to work in all four of them. Because if they're limiting themselves to, for instance, one, like the training, they would not be the SUI, they would be the training center.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they would limit themselves to only doctrine development, then there would be a TRADOC, the doctrine and standard development entity. Many countries have commands like that. So then the question would be, why we would need such a specialized entity, especially when NATO has their own standardization office.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, this is one of the distinction of COEs from other entities within nations or NATO is that COEs have to cover four pillars of support, not stovepiping, but mainly crosswalking through them, but all four have to be existent.
So I'm looking at a list of all the COEs in operation currently, and you can see there's a lot of diversity here. Some are political, some are military, let's see, strategic communications, COE, air operations, energy security, mountain warfare, crisis management, and disaster response. So I'm wondering, where does the initial concept for a COE come from?
It can come from two sources. One of them is NATO itself, because NATO evolves and develops itself through few processes, including the NATO defense planning process, during which requirements for capabilities and gaps are being identified.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with teams from NDPP to develop the requirement for the potential future COEs. And of course, beyond that, we also look in the warfare development trends, the ones that are recorded in warfare development agenda or other forward-thinking NATO forward-thinking documents, NATO security strategies and policies. So we collect those ideas and we present them in the shape and form of letter from Supreme Allied Commander Transformation to the military committee. So this is one pool of the idea. The other pool of the ideas is nations themselves. Sometimes they come up with brilliant ideas for COEs that maybe NATO has not discovered yet. So whenever nation wants to establish a COE, as I mentioned, it goes to the military committee, present an official letter saying that we are establishing the Center of Excellence and we would like to offer it to NATO. And then the process starts. So then when the military committee receives the letter, it tasks the strategic commands with a CT in lead to analyze the proposal, to look for the potential clashes of interest, to look for synergies, to confirm that there is enough space for that COE to be effective and efficient and add value to NATO. And strategic commands analyze that proposal and they send back the military advice to the military committee whether to accept that proposal or not. And once the military committee does, so which they did in space, then the establishment and accreditation process begins.
And what is ACT's role specifically in the COE establishment and accreditation process?
So ACT in general, or SACTI, our commander in general, is the primary entity and the primary officer in NATO that is responsible for employment and management of centers of excellence in NATO in coordination with ASACUR or SHAPE, the Strategic Alliance Operations. Now, in terms of establishment and accreditation, our headquarters is the organization that primarily manages the process, and we are the owner of the COE establishment and accreditation process. We are mandated to do this job by the Military Committee and the North Atlantic Council.
And what's your day-to-day like? What do you do for COEs on a daily basis?
My daily job is to consult the nations that want to establish the COE. I probably would be the primary point of contact at the working level for those nations, for their representatives. When the COE is undergoing establishment, it is my job to also help nations to go through the process, to facilitate the negotiations, and to facilitate the conferences, the establishment conferences. Right. And once they are established, I also lead the teams for accreditation assessments. And later on, once they are established and accredited, I also am responsible for periodic assessments of those centers of excellence.
How often do the periodic assessments come up?
As I said, in principle, it's about in every 3 to 4 years, which means that our branch is conducting from 8 to 10 periodic assessments a year.
So from the time the military committee makes the decision to proceed to when the COE receives that accreditation, how long is that process?
In the regular times, or, you know, if everything goes smoothly, from the beginning to an end, and the end is the signing of the functional MOU, it might take from 18 to 24 months.
MOU meaning the Memorandum of Understanding between all the participating nations and NATO that specifies operational and functional obligations.
Correct.
And where are you now in this process with the new space COE?
So Space COE now is in the middle of the process, so their establishment is almost over, and then the second part of the process, the accreditation, will start. So if everything goes well, and which we hope it will, we would see that COE signing functional MOU sometime in late fall of the next year. Uh-huh. Whereas for the climate change and security COE, the process has just started, so they are still within the first and the second establishment conferences, which means that they are still developing their concept. And we really hope that their process will be completed by the end of next year. And if not, then early in the first quarter of 2024.
Mm-hmm. And each COE has a host nation or a framework nation that functions as that COE's advocate, primary advocate, right from the beginning.
Correct. So basically, when the military committee receives a proposal from the nations, then the formal information campaign starts. The first time when the framework nation, which that is the correct term to use for the nation that is championing the establishment of the COE, normally it is one nation. Sometimes it could be two nations. So we have COEs that have been championed by two nations. For instance, the counterintelligence COE, it is the Polish and Slovakian joint venture. But they would carry that championship, that flag, forward until the COE is established. And of course, that nation is also responsible or offering a home for the COE. So normally the COE would be hosted in the land of that nation. And if there are two framework nations, so normally one of them would be the host nation of the COE, and the other one would provide an additional resources. For instance, laboratory, like in the military medicine case in Germany, or a training range, like in the counterintelligence COE case in Slovakia. But the framework nation is there from the beginning to an end, and it literally holds the larger portion of the responsibility regarding the COE.
So there are 28 COEs hosted by 22 of the 30 NATO allies.
Correct.
And some countries have two COEs.
Yes, some have even more.
And at some point, we'll see, with climate and space anyway, we'll see 30 COEs hosted by 23 countries.
Correct.
So to clarify, there are framework nations, and some nations, some framework nations host multiple COEs. They have two or more.
Right.
Then there are supporting and contributing nations for each COE. Those are the countries that sign on to a COE to provide staffing, resources, and funding to support the framework nation.
Correct.
So how many supporting and contributing nations are there now committed to supporting the new space COE?
Well, at the moment, as document shows, we have one, which is France, because it's the leading nation.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the 18th of January, we will know for sure how many nations actually joined France in that wonderful and exciting venture. I must say that it probably will be one of the highest numbers of COE signing the operational MOU at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, so I just give a teaser here.
Mm-hmm. Now, the space COE is unique because it'll be working in parallel to NATO's own development of space as an operational domain. So in terms of those four pillars of work you mentioned earlier, training, experimentation, analysis, standard development, how will the space COE complement what the alliance may already be doing?
Well, that is a great question, and I'm happy to say that the strategic commands put a great deal of thinking when the concept, the original or the initial concept of the space COE has been analyzed. Mm-hmm. So the strategic commands have given, again, they have developed possible requests or possible areas of where the COE could contribute in terms of all pillars. So in training and education, the COE is expected to be a department head for a newly established space training and education discipline. The department head means that the center of excellence would be responsible for managing the training program for NATO and nations within that specific area, meaning space operations.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that the COE would have to deliver training itself, although the space COE might. It's difficult to say at the moment yet, but there is an expectation like that. But it definitely would be the one that would manage and would keep the hand on a pulse, if I can say so, in terms of development in education and training in the area of space operations.
So for education, training, standardization, the space COE is expected to be a very valuable asset.
Yes, exactly.
Now, what about the climate COE? How close is that to receiving accreditation?
Oh, climate COE is one of our baby COEs yet. So we're still in the concept development phase. That COE, the champion nation or the nation that pushes the initiative forward is Canada.
Uh-huh.
And it will be a multinational COE. So there is no question about it. There is a great interest among the countries. And again, this is one of the COEs that fall outside of a traditional military understanding of expertise, because climate change and security, or impacts of climate change and security, is something that informs military operations, but it should be included in the military, in the planning of military operations and conduct, but it's more forward-looking concept. So again, this is an emerging challenge. So this is not something that is traditionally built in the military culture.
Yeah, it's a very different kind of COE, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I would like to use, you know, something that NATO talks about right now, the 360 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
When we think about operations, when we think about warfare development, it's 360, which means that everything is interrelated. So we have to look in each and every sector, in each and every area. And the climate change is exactly that. You can't really address climate change through the traditional military means. You really have to go above and beyond. And in that COE, the connection with those outside actors, the think tanks, the industry, the academia, will be a crucial factor for success. And it will be very successful for NATO as well, because again, mm-hmm. we will get that insight that we might not really have in-house just yet.
Right. Well, between the climate COE and the space COE, you can really get a sense of how diverse these entities are, because on the one hand, the climate COE is more of a think tank, and the space COE is more of a military developer for a new domain. And between the two, you can see a real range of possibilities for what a COE can do for the alliance.
Yes, that is correct. And when you look at that, those four pillars that I mentioned for the COE program of work, so it will be very interesting to see how the COE, like the climate change and security, will develop standards and doctrine for NATO, or how will they make sure that the climate implications are reflected in those, right? Or for the space COE, it will be very interesting to see their analytical work, you know, even though they are developing together with the space as the operational domain. However, there is so much more that they can deliver for the future thinking, you know, for the long-term perspective. So it will be really interesting to see how these COEs will balance across the four pillars of program of work.
Now, where do you see the relationship between COEs and the alliance going in the next 10 or 20 years?
Well, I would not see that each and every COE will have each and every nation and in NATO. It's not the requirement. But I really see those organizations standing strong in support of the alliance. I really do.
Yeah.
And I can even see them being a good pool for preparing workforce for NATO deployments. Because many COEs develop training, for instance, that could be used as a pre-training for the staff elements for workforce to be posted in NATO or any other international organizations. So I could really see them interlinked even greater and more than they are now in terms of developing a valuable and very qualified workforce to work in the NATO enterprise itself. It will be very interesting to see how the climate and security implications will be embedded in the standardization documents of NATO. How will they embed it in the scenario development of NATO? And probably it will take a little bit of an elbow work, you know, to work that content into exercise, traditional exercise scenario. But I really look, but it's exciting at the same time. So I'm really looking forward to see how the COEs will convince and change the culture of those military commanders and planners that these aspects are really important.
Now, in your capacity within the COE Program Development Directorate, is there any message you have for COEs themselves? What's important for them to know?
Well, my message to the COEs would be stay relevant. And with that, I mean, review your concept. And many COEs have concepts. They all do. The concept is one of the main founding documents or foundational documents of COEs, where they explain mission, vision, and added value of the COE to NATO nations and partners. Or to NATO enterprise as a whole. It is a document that is living, and it has to be reviewed to reflect the most current development, political and strategic developments in NATO. And that is one of the base for the COE to stay relevant. And by the way, we actually assist COEs in reviewing their relevancy when we do periodic assessments.
Right.
So this is one of the tools that also is in the possession of the of our headquarters, is to periodically assess the COEs, which is done in principle every 3 to 4 years, to make sure that the COEs are relevant against the requirements that are being set or criteria that are being set for them by the military committee. The set of requirements or criteria is being applied when we initially assess the COE for NATO accreditation. It is quite an extensive list of criteria. And then every 3 to 4 years after the accreditation, the periodic assessment team would meet with the COE staff, would review. It's a huge questionnaire developed for the COEs. They have to fill it in. And they literally are doing a deep dive into themselves. So they're X-raying themselves with our help. And we have a diverse team from NATO. We have subject matter experts supporting our team. The team is led by the COE Program Development Branch within our headquarters. But we are helping the COEs to see where they can advance and excel.
Yeah. So that's an opportunity to stay relevant.
Correct. That is one of the opportunity to stay relevant. But at the same point in time, we can show the COEs the door or the direction, but the COEs have to open the door and go towards that direction themselves. So stay relevant also means their own individual interest in making sure that they are fully understanding the current developments within the enterprise and nations, the NATO enterprise and nations.
So that's your message for COEs. Is there any message you might have for your colleagues in the alliance about COEs and what they can do?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I will pitch now. I will pitch now for the COEs, for the colleagues. And I will use the word of my other colleague, which I think brilliantly put. The COEs are brilliant. Mm-hmm. Use them. If you have questions, come and see COE Program Development Branch. We will be happy to help you to connect to the COEs because they're excellent capacity multipliers and excellent pools of expertise that may not be available within NATO.
Yep, something to remember. Okay, well, Rasa, thanks again for your time today. Thanks for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.